Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Okay, post done. All right, good. All right, so all the millennials in my church say, would you do more Facebook Live? All right, good deal. There you go.
Yay, God is good, isn't he? Well, let's find out what he wants to do in this service. Amen? You know, because he knows you personally. Amen? That's what's so cool. He knows you personally. Out of all the people in the whole world, he knows you personally. And he just has this desire to have this just personal, intimate relationship with you. Amen? So, Papa, we just love you. You're just such a good dad, and you're a good Lord, a good Father, a good King, everything. And I ask that you would show me what you desire here today, because it's about your kingdom. It's about you connecting with your people. We love you. We honor you, and we thank you. I love your word. I love your spirit. I love everything about you. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Pastor Daniel's calling out some things, you know, about healing. And I really felt in my spirit, you know, we say felt, we say heard. Maybe you're new to this Christian thing. The voice of God's not like, hey, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's like, you know, it's like a perception or a, you know, a feeling sometimes or what. You're kind of discerning it, you know what I mean? And I really sensed that as he was calling some things out, you were going, yeah, that's for somebody else. But it wasn't for me. But can I share with you? It's for you. And you don't feel worthy to receive. Somebody else would be worthy to receive. I know why God would love so-and-so, you know, but I don't know why he would love me, because you know you better than you know so-and-so. If you knew so-and-so, you would believe that God would love you probably more than them. You know what I'm saying? If you could get deep down inside there and all that kind of stuff. You know, but it's interesting that we in the body of Christ, we as, you know, you got to think about this. Here we are, people that didn't know God. We were designed to be intimate with him. We were designed to know him. And through the fall of man, there's this thing that happened inside of us that a portion of us died. And we were created to have this intimate dependency upon him. And so we go through life not functioning the way that we're supposed to. And so we end up with wounds. We end up with these things in our hearts, these insecurities, these pains inside of us that God never intended for us to have. And it's not because you're a bad person. And you know what? And then people who have been wounded, they hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. And then we have this dysfunction, if I can call it that, inside of us. We don't see ourselves as awesome as God made us to be. We don't see ourselves as lovely as God intended us to be, or as strong as God intended us to be. And so we do all these things to try to mask that so that others won't see what we truly feel about ourselves. And that's so sad. Not sad that you're trying to cover that, because you know what? Hey, I feel like a jerk. You know what I mean? You don't want to like portray your insecurities out. You know what I mean? So covering them up is okay, because you'll get beat up from them. You know what I'm saying? Things like this. But what is sad is that we have this image inside of us that God didn't intend. And so we go through life trying to perform for a father that just really wants us to come, and for some of us to get into his lap. For some of us to just come up and say, hey, did you see me do that? for some of us to go, I just blew that. Can you help me? Come on. Remember my son, you know. Dad, this guy wants to arrest me. Okay, don't want you wasting. And my son, he's a little bit challenged, and he doesn't understand all these situations and stuff, and he was about to get arrested because the policeman didn't understand him, and he didn't understand the policeman, and blah, blah, blah. So I said, give the policeman the phone. Boom. And so I talked to the policeman. We worked it all out. But who did he call is the key thing. See, he knew he could call Dad. Dad's gonna do something. Even though I'm in trouble, Dad's gonna do something. But what do we do many times with Father God when we do something and something goes bad? What do? We run, right? Because we don't understand how much he loves us. We don't understand how much he cares. You know, the Bible says that we receive the Spirit, and by that Spirit, we get to cry out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba means daddy. It means an intimate relationship. And so many of us, me included, man, I remember getting born again and hearing that and just going, I don't know what the heck that means. My dad's the one that taught me how to outrun police. He's the one that would get mad at me if I got caught. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I had a dad that was like, you know. You come to my church, you would love it. He will hug you. He is the nicest guy ever. And I tell people that that is not the guy that raised me. All right? That is not the one. All right? And the thing that's so cool about it, and literally when I led him to the Lord, and here's the guy who would like mock me. Here's the guy that got so mad at me because I wouldn't swear anymore. I wouldn't fight anymore. I wouldn't do anything. You know what I mean? He was so mad at me. He goes, what? You know what I mean? And one time he called me. I mean, out of the blue, I get this call. Dad never calls. Dad called. And I go, hey, Dad. What's up? He goes, you're praying for me, aren't you? I go, well, yeah, of course I'm praying for you. I go, why would you bring that up? My dad traveled for his business, and, you know, he's all over the country and world. And he goes, everywhere I go, I run into somebody like you. I'm on the airplane. Somebody's got a Bible, and they want to talk to me about God. I go to the motel. Somebody wants to talk to me about God. I go to the restaurant. Somebody wants to talk to me about God. Pray for me. He is mad, and he's using some words I'm not going to use. I went, no way, Dad. Yeah, I'm getting more. You just fired me up. You know what I mean? You're the one that taught me to fight. Man, you just released the warrior that you created as a little boy. I'm praying for you, man. You know what I mean? He didn't even say goodbye. Oh, my gosh. Okay. And then he got born again. I mean, he gave his life to the Lord, right? I mean, it's like, and all of a sudden, I literally prayed this. I just went, God, I can't handle this. I don't even know who this guy is. He went from somebody, I never saw him cry. I never saw him, like, I don't know. It just, it was like, what happened to you? And he goes, I love you. And he's hugging me. And I'm going, stop. You never hugged me. You just quit it. I just even know how to handle it. And, you know, and I learned to accept it. And I learned to receive it. But this is the deal. I never got that as a little boy. I never got that. Hey, man, you know, hug me. And so here I got a 55-year-old that just got born again starting to hug me. And I'm like, I don't even know how to handle it. Don't hug me. Why? Because the little boy in me didn't feel worthy to be hugged. And so I remember going to Father and going, I don't know what this stinking means. This Abba thing. What the heck does this mean? understand being a warrior for you, man. Send me anywhere, man. I'll go preach. I'll do anything you want me to do, man. I'll face the demons. I'll pray for the sick. I'll do whatever you want me to do, right? Man, give me an assignment, man. I'll go. Is it all right if I come down here? Can I do this? All right, you know, anyway. You know, I was the guy. Give me a stinking assignment, man. I'll do it, man. I'll do it for you. And man, when Father God tried to start to come into my heart and start to try to get intimate with me, I'm going like, man, we don't do that, man. You know what I mean? Saying. And I was out fasting and praying one day, and I was out in the woods, and I just, you know, I was kind of like mad. And I knew he was there. It wasn't like I saw him, you know, it wasn't like an audible voice, but I knew he was there. And he comes. And he starts to minister to me. And he speaks to me. And he says, you know, you don't have to perform for me anymore. He says, I just love you. And I'm going, why? Why? He goes, because I just love you. See, I was pushing. I was trying to earn his love, trying to do some things, you know what I mean, to make him proud of me. He's going to be proud of me because I'll say yes. You know what I mean? I'll say yes, man. You tell me to do something else, you're going to be proud of me. Let me tell you what you can't earn from him. You can't earn his love. And he says, you don't ever have to perform for me ever again. He says, I don't care if you pastor a church. I don't care what you do. He says, you never have to perform for me ever again. I said, why? He goes, because I love you. I'll bless you just because I love you. And he said, I go, why do you love me? What is it about me that you might love? You know, our paths are quite a bit alike. There wasn't a lot to love, I didn't think. And he goes, you made me laugh. And I'm going, I make God laugh. He goes, even if you think I'm asking you to do something, you will do it. I go, yeah. He goes, remember the God time you spit on that guy to get him healed? He goes, that was funny. And I'm like, I didn't think it was funny because he didn't get healed. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I didn't think that was the greatest moment of my life. He goes, it was funny. He says, we laughed so hard. I go, well, why didn't you heal him? He goes, we love this. That if you even think you want us to do something, you to do something, you're going to do it. And then he started to show me how to hear his spirit more and how to not perform for him anymore, but just kind of like be his kid. You know, just be his kid, you know. My granddaughter, she loves it because she loves to spend my money. She's awesome. Hey, Grandpa, can we go shopping? She has no concept. She just thinks I own everything. You know what I'm saying? You know? But the thing about it is we have a Father that does. And he wants us to have that same kind of heart. See, I used to feel pressure that if I had to get up here, I had to be a really good speaker, pastor, you know, orator, or whatever. But you know, doesn't matter to me anymore because I just have one. See, it doesn't even matter if you like me because he does. And it doesn't make me less responsible, it makes me more responsible. So as I was, Pastor Daniel. Okay, the best pastor. I don't know whose ringtone that is, but I got to give me that one. All right, hey. Woo! Mine's boring, you know. I need one of those dance ringtones, you know. It's like, hey, what's up, man? All right. It's my ringtone from heaven, you know. It's like, Pastor Danny was talking, I just really sensed that there was somebody that felt like, you know, God will heal somebody else, but he won't heal me. Can I tell you that comes from hell? Because there's only one who wants to separate you. Now, when I say it comes from hell, it might have come from the fall, and Satan caused that, and sin, and people beat you up, and people have put wounds in you little bit by little bit to put a wall up between you and God. My first grade teacher, I had a learning disability. My first grade teacher brought me up in front of class, drug me up in front and said, made the whole class say, Paul Ruzynski is stupid. You know what that did in me? Number one, murder entered my heart that day. It really did. I remember looking at her, if I was big enough, I'd kill you right now. And then a wound entered into me. I'm stupid. And like you, I went to Oral Roberts University with a 3.98. Because of God's grace. And I went to school going, God, I can't do this. I am so afraid of doing this. It was like everything in me. You're asking me to go back to school? He goes, no, you can do it. I don't care how old you are. You still got wounds and you got to drive through them. But the thing is this, there's old Papa who loves you so much that he's not going to ask you to do something to wound you. And even though when he leads you into something, it might cause a little pain, he's there with his anointing and his spirit to bring you forth into victory. So when you feel like God might heal somebody else but not me, you're wrong. But Papa wants to heal that. He's the healer of the brokenhearted, Jesus is. Can you imagine what life would be without any brokenness? That means there would be no fear. There'd be no condemnation, no inferiority. There would just be an openness and a freeness to love and to be loved. Can you imagine what the world's like in his perfection? He wants it for you. When he birthed you, if you got born again, he says, you're no longer of this world. You're of his world. It's called the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, there's no more pain. In that kingdom, there's no more lack. But we haven't renewed our minds with his love letter to us. We've read it as a letter to others, maybe. We might have read it as doctrinal information so I can be smarter. Pharisees were really good at that. But how about a letter to you? Would he write a letter to you? What if the Bible was written for just you? And just you, and just you, and just you, and just you. And that's the neat thing about God. Come on. Just for us, but us individually. And it's amazing. Pastor Daniel and I could study the same passionate portion of Scripture, and Papa will speak to me about one thing, and he'll speak to him about another thing. Why? Because he loves both of us. And his book is a living book. It's the only book that you're going to read that's going to read you. Uh-huh. You start reading it with the Holy Spirit and not just with your head, and you start reading it with the Holy Spirit, you're going to read the Bible, and he's going to start pulling out those little wounds and those things that Satan has tried to plant in there to stop you from your destiny. Pastor Daniel's going to be teaching on discipleship, and discipleship is really just a process by which you start to fulfill what God created you to do. I'll give him my notes in case he wants to look at some things that I was going to say. But it's a process that requires us to be serious about the process. I have to get into the Word, His Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but there's something that won't pass away. And His Word is a part of that. And He says, if you'll abide in my Word, you're my disciple. He said, if you'll love. It says, by this, all will know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. What kind of love? The love of God that he's placed inside of you to love one another. You see, people from the outside should look at Summit Church and go, God's got to be there. Why? I've never seen people love like that. Because you're bearing. He says, you'll know you're my disciple because you bear much fruit. And what does that look like? You know what that looks like? Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in it. Who has a good work in here? Every single one of us. You know, you were created by God for something. You. All of you. Created by God for a good work. Would you... But you know what so many times people do? They try to do a work that somebody else is doing because they like how it looks on them. I want to be on stage and sing. I am singing. I have a song for you. All right, you know what I mean? Not all of us are meant to sing. Okay, that, never mind. Never mind where that came from. We all know. Okay, we're going to stop that whole image. It is done. Over. I've never watched Elf, by the way. Never in my life. Okay, I lied. Okay, anyway. And so we try somebody else's gifting on for size. You know why? Because we're not comfortable with who God made us to be. I remember when the Lord asked me to preach, you got to understand, it's not my gifting, it's not my thing. I went into it like this. and it just, he just, I've called you to preach, okay? a dyslexic, a guy who will mix up words, a guy who, you know what I mean? And finally I had to go, okay, all right. It's your fault if it doesn't work. Okay, but that might be a really good attitude to have. That was my response. It's your fault if it doesn't work. And if you asked me to do it, and you know how many things he's asked me to do that I didn't feel like I could do, but it was not for me to become something for others to watch. It was for him to heal what Satan had destroyed. So your gift that God's called you to do, that you're going to be fruitful in, has more to do with your healing and then your ability out of wholeness to give to others. It's important you find your gifting. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know what that looks like, but it probably will start out maybe here and then move to here and then move to here and move, you know what I'm saying? But to do nothing is to stay in your wounds. In this last point, and then I'm going to pray for some people. Is that okay? Because we don't have a lot of time, so you're going to have to hear quickly and receive quickly. The Bible says, unless you are willing to forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. A works mentality is say, I've got to give up everything. I don't know what kind of personality this would be, but somebody who's just like, oh, I will just give up everything. And both those responses can be out of wounds. This is the deal. To give up everything means this. I trust in you and you alone. How do I get saved? Ephesians somewhere. We're redeemed through his blood. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:13, I think it is. In him we have redemption through his blood. I trust for my salvation in him and his blood alone. I can't earn it. I can't be good enough to be his kid. I can't be good enough to get forgiveness of sins. I trust in his blood alone. And if you trust in anything other than that, I try hard. You're wrong. You're going to hell. I try. I go to Summit Church, God. His blood and his blood alone. Great church. Trying hard. Good. You know, I think you should. Like, have a good attitude and try to do the things he said. But you can't trust in your actions. You can't trust in your goodness. You can't trust in your effort. Christ alone came and died for your sin. I trust in his blood alone for my salvation. There is a vetting service for heaven. There's a border and a kingdom. And I know this is a politically hot button right now. But God's all over it. And he's got this huge border, and he says, Jesus is the way. He's the only one. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come into the kingdom except by me. That's a huge border, baby. And it's very narrow, and there's one way. And then the end result is this. The vetting service is this. Why do you get in? Because of the blood and the blood alone. And then you come into the kingdom and you have to assimilate into the kingdom. Because the kingdom's not going to change for you. But you change to the kingdom, and that's what discipleship is. I trust in the blood and the blood alone. Everybody gets to get in. Isn't that cool? You can witness to your Muslim friends. You can witness to your heathen, satanic friends. You can witness to anybody. Why? Because it's by the blood and the blood alone. I don't have to fear anybody's doctrine. I don't have to fear their color. I don't have to fear their background. I don't have to fear nothing. Why? Because I got a message that's all-inclusive, but yet singular. All-inclusive by his blood and his blood alone. You can get saved. I love that message. I'm so glad somebody shared that message with me. I was in a bar doing a drug deal. And this guy comes in. And he sits down in front of me and says, Paul, God's got a better life for you than this. Don't throw it away. And then gets up and walks out. Who the blank is that? Later on, I go, who, what, how? He goes, I was driving by and the Lord told me that you were in there and told me to tell you that. And those words went into my heart. God would love me. I'm in here doing a drug deal. And he would send somebody to come and tell me that God loves me. That's how much he loves you. That's why he will heal you. Because it's not by what you do. My trust and faith isn't what he has done. So I can have sinned just before I walked into this room. And if I walk into this room and Pastor Daniel by the Spirit says, God is healing. Then that word is for you. Because it's not based on what you do. So there's a couple questions that have to be answered right now. And the first one is if you're not born again based on the blood of Jesus Christ and him alone, today is your day. And you qualify because it's by his blood, not your effort, not your works, not how bad you were. This is what I know about the blood of Jesus. It's bigger than your sin. Why? Because sin came from Satan and he is inferior. Grace came from God, and he is way greater than sin. And so whatever you've done, his grace and his blood is bigger. And so if you're here and you feel condemnation, you don't feel the grace and the love of God, you never got saved in a way that you received new life, today is your day. And I want you right now to very boldly, if that's you, to stand up and say, I want that. Is there anybody in this room? Yeah, come on, man. Come on, can you guys come up here? I'm proud of you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit. You pour out your spirit. In the midst of a dry and thirsty land, you give of your mercy with a mighty